Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everyone, welcome to Red Men TV. It is the Uncensored Match Build-Up Show in Liverpool, Swansea City, Monday Night Football.
It's Klopp, it's Carvajal.
It's the big boys of world football.
That's all
the man
I know,
who took Dortmund to a Champions League final, a man who led Sheffield Wednesday to a playoff semi-final defeat by David Wagner. Chris, hi.
Hi.
Ross, hi.
Hi.
Good.
It's been a while.
Has it?
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, since I've seen you last.
No, since the last Umbu.
Oh, yeah. It's been exactly the same amount of time as it was the week before.
Normally do 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point. Lads, how are we feeling about this game?
Isn't it? Mate, come on.
It's tough, this, because we've just gone through a period of the season. You go through September and November when you just have a bunch of fixtures that Liverpool should be winning. And having just come through Man City, we've just come through a blood and thunder encounter against, you know, a wonderful footballing side in Man City, and we've come out on top, and Anfield was amazing. It was bouncing, and we put a real marker down for our season. And then look, it boils down to this, Chris.
It's the biggest game of our season.
No, bollocks. And this is the problem, is that you do all that hard work and you beat Man City, you're top of the league. You've then got Swansea, bottom of the league, as your next game, with an 8-day break in between. So literally zero excuses. I'm not even sure how to talk about this other than Liverpool very much just need to know that there's no point in us beating Man City if we don't then go to the Liberty Stadium and take all 3 points.
I would never say that Liverpool take a team for granted.
You know, no.
You can see it by the makeup of the players and the makeup of the squad, and it's in the manager's image, isn't it? You know, and as much as we might be like, oh, the bottom of the league, Jürgen Klopp will be reinforcing the message, it's 3 points, it's the most important game. The next game is always the most important game, and it's Swansea City, and listen, they've got a new manager and they're not in good form. Take advantage of that. That's what Liverpool need to be doing. You know, how many times over the years have we... if we drop points against these type of sides with new managers coming in and all that type of stuff, no, that it should be advantage Liverpool. Press that and keep playing the way that you've been playing. And the fact is, Jürgen Klopp, we saw in the Europa League when he's got one game. We saw at the end of last season and in the Europa League run when he's got time to prepare his side for a game, we always seem to do better. And he's had time, and having that extra day after an incredibly tough fixture against Manchester City will be much better for this Liverpool side, because they must have been knackered. They were knackered.
Yeah. And you know what's important for this game, to add some importance to this game, is that notion of Liverpool need to get into the swing of, and we're getting good at this season, of writing off these, wouldn't it be dead, like, oh, it'd be so Liverpool if, you know, because it would, you know, it'd be very easy to fall into that, like, God, wouldn't it be so Liverpool if we drop it? No, this has got to be a new Liverpool. You know, we've got to prove that what we've been much better at this season is winning these games. The games that against the bogey sides, the games against the teams that you're supposed to be beating, the games where you get a bit complacent and you take your foot off the gas and you drop points. Well, we've been good at that. What we weren't great at is beating good sides. Now, if we can marry both together, then there's literally... the only thing that will limit Liverpool this season is maybe a little bit of bad luck and the fact that the league's already shown up. Liverpool can take this season where they want to take it, but exactly what Chris says there, and you'd bank Jürgen Klopp to have this going, but it ultimately weird. It's the players you've got on the pitch have got to go and prove their superiority, because if they can't, then fucking, you know, what we're going to have, it's a difference between a season battling, again, battling for fourth, or a season that's spent battling for second in the league.
Yeah, I think they've turned a corner in that respect, because we've seen from the Burnley, Leicester and even Everton games, they're exactly the teams that you're talking about, that you think it's a potential banana skin that we're not going to win. And even from 1-0 down or losing an early goal, they've not only beat them teams, but shown the character that they're not going to give up and fight for that. And I think that's part of the reason why the confidence and morale is so high among fans. And everyone's excited for this game because they want the next fix of football, because they know that's what this side are capable of. Yeah. And they won't give up. And I think they know they are as well. And beating Manchester City, your confidence can't get any higher. Not only did we beat them, we just completely outplayed them. I don't think he will let complacency kick in, because he never has. Even if you go back to Moscow or Maribor, they're sides that you go, oh, we're going to beat these, but then that was 2-7-0s, and it wasn't, no, we're not going to give up, not going to lessen our roles at 1-0, 2-0, we're just going to keep going.
This is because of the way the fixtures line, we'll look at the opposition fixtures again. It's been quite interesting the last few weeks, we'll come on to that a bit later on in the show, but because we're that last game, Chris, I strongly suspect all of our rivals will probably get back to winning ways this week, because I think a few too many of them drop points of late. It's just the way things tend to pan out in football. So there's a chance that all the gaps will be a lot closer by the time we kick off on Monday. Liverpool have a fantastic platform here, televised game as well, against a team like Swansea, who have a bit of football in their DNA. You know, we'll hopefully try to stick to the principles to some extent. You know, you almost kind of want to be breaking some hearts in this. You want Spurs players and Chelsea players and Man United players and even the Arsenal players sitting down on a Monday night with their points all secured, having worked the bollocks off, they're a bit sore, they're a bit stiff, and they're thinking, we've done our job. Well, let's see if Swansea can get a job and get it, do us a favour here, and Liverpool go and smash Swansea off the park.
Listen, I've been on the receiving end as a fan of that far too often, you know what I mean? When I've watched teams, and it's dejecting, and it must be even worse for a player. So I think you're exactly spot on. I mean, what you want to do is you want them sitting down to watch Liverpool, and Liverpool to walk out of there with a 4-0, and them to think, we were really stupid to think that Swansea would have got something in this game. That's what hurts as a football fan. Yeah. That's what hurts as a player of one of those opposition sides.
Absolutely. And let's not forget, the FA Cup looms the following weekend as well, Ross, and I think we're all keen for Liverpool to make a good fist of that, because look, the Champions League's great. If you progress any further, for me, it's a nice bonus for the season. Liverpool needs to take the FA Cup seriously, so Liverpool ultimately want to get themselves into a position where, you know, this game is put to bed, this game is done and dusted, and that's going to require them to pick themselves up, make sure they're fit, refreshed and ready, and go out and put a strong first half performance and try and get the goals up.
Yeah, I think they've got the players to do that now. I think when you bring in Van Dijk and those players that have come back from injury, they've got the team capable to do that and perform on a consistent level. Going back to that, though, Swansea played last night, didn't they?
Yeah.
They've done a full 90 minutes, so they're going to be knackered, or mentally knackered as well.
Yeah, but I think it works kind of both ways to some extent, because I think, similar conversations what we had prior to the last game. You know, it was when the fixtures were coming thick and fast, and Liverpool should always have more in the tank, should always have more legs, just because of the depth of the squad. You're right. I think that's probably the solid logic in this regard, because, like I say, Liverpool have had 8 days to prepare for this game. Swansea have had a really big, tough test. You know, come through against Wolves, didn't they, on Wednesday night? But as a team that's been struggling a little bit, it actually, in some regards, might work in their favour a bit. You know, sometimes
we need a good cup run.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a good thing if it's true that you can make wholesale changes for the cup and lose and fuck your momentum up, it stands to reason just as well that getting a win, getting a good sub, because look, here's the thing: Wolves are flying in the Championship, and I won't protest to know their full length strength team or whatever, but there's a team who, by all accounts, a one place difference in the footballing pyramid to Swansea. To be able to go and do that will give their players a little bit of lift and say, no, we're not Championship, we are Premier League quality. And hopefully they'll feel that they can take a bit of momentum into that. So maybe a little bit of a
There's also the mentality from Swansea's perspective, kind of like what Liverpool had a little bit before the Manchester City, to be honest, in that, you know, we'd built up a bit of a cushion to Tottenham and Arsenal, and it was a bit of a gimme. wasn't it? You know what I mean? And the Swansea players might go into that Liverpool game and think to themselves, everyone expects us to get beat here. If we get anything, it's more than what everyone else is expecting. And that sometimes can put a little bit of fire in your belly, can't
well,
it?
Well, I actually think it's almost... it could be the other way as well, to some extent. Yeah, I think you're right. But what's interesting is that, again, all of their nearest rivals all play all of our nearest rivals this weekend.
Well, that actually, if all of our nearest rivals win, that intensifies the Swans even more.
Exactly. Mm. You know, there's a point that... Swansea, if the Swansea were to take 3 points against us, I've got it written down here, they'd be a point behind Southampton in 17th, three behind Brighton and Newcastle, who were 16th and 15th respectively. So, you know, I don't think they'll be banking on 3 points against Liverpool, but there is very much that little carrot to dangle at this game, for particularly with the new manager in charge as well. So, again, look, there are ultimately no excuses for Liverpool not getting 3 points in this game, but I think it's worth saying that Swansea are probably a slightly different beast this week to what they were 2 or 3 weeks ago when we played them last. What do you reckon then, Ross? Are we likely to see... We'll do preferred 11s after the break, but we've rotated a lot. Hello.
Hi.
We rotated a lot over Christmas, and we've seen some players, you know, a lot. More than any other team in the Premier League, we've rotated in that period. I think, and I don't know whether you think, there's a chance maybe that we see a bit more of a settled 11 for now, particularly if we're down to a game a week. We know what Jürgen's like in that situation. We saw it last season. I would suspect we'll probably see minimal changes at best.
That's what I'd like to see, and that's what I do, but you never know with Jürgen.
I'd really like to see it as well, just from a start 11 point of view.
That's what you do, because you get his business end, isn't it, going towards it now. You want that consistency. I've said it all season, particularly in that back four. I know he's just changed the goalkeeper. But you want that communication, and you want it to be right going in, because they're all vital points.
Yeah.
Going into this part now.
Yeah, and that's it. I think it averages out. You know, I won't even go with the statistic. It's just a simple fact that Liverpool just have a far lighter fixture schedule, comparatively speaking, in the back end of the season right now than they did in the first half. That would, of course, be changed if you pick up an FA Cup replay along the way, or just progressing in either of the cup competitions that remain, because that might be more difficult. But you don't necessarily need to pre-plan so much for that right now. The FA Cup gets its own due time for a couple of weeks anyway, so for a couple of rounds. So, I mean, what do you reckon? Do you think we'll see a few? We'll see changes to keep things fresh.
I think we will. But you know, we were at a point a month ago where it was five or six changes every single game. I think you might be looking at maybe one, two changes just to keep people in that groove in case an injury's picked up and stuff. Rather than smart, exactly. So you know, you don't want all of the good work that you've put into developing Trent this season to be undone for him becoming rusty, for example. So I'd expect to see Joe Gomez 75% of the time, let's say.
Yeah.
Maybe 1 in 4. You might see a Trent Alexander-Arnold come in for a game, something like that. I think right now you're looking at the other side, the other fullback, Robertson. I mean, Moreno's back in training. Robertson, to me, has made that left-back berth his own at the moment. The midfield, we've seen what I think, you know, against Manchester City, what that midfield can be. Let them play a little bit more together. You want to build those relationships up and see how they do in a fixture that's completely different. But ultimately, yeah, I kind of answered it. 1-2 changes a week as opposed to sweeping changes.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to get into the preferred 11s in a moment, of course. Just want to give a little shout out before we crack on with the rest of the show. Chris has done a phenomenal show, a brand new show to the RedmenTV.com, Stats and Tactics. If you're bang into Liverpool Football Club and you want to know a little bit more about the in-depth stuff of how wins are achieved, great show this week done on how Liverpool beat Manchester City. Here's a little clip for you to have a look at.
So their back five has had 51% of Manchester City's touches on the ball. That's brilliant. That's Liverpool telling them, you can have it at the back, you're not getting through. We showed you on the heat maps a minute ago. That's that line. That's Emre Can, that's Gini Wijnaldum, that's Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain. Have the ball in front of us. Sounds. You're not getting it through to your dangerous players. We're setting up here on the halfway line and you're going to have to play through us. And that's what Liverpool did fantastically well. And just as a point of comparison as well, Liverpool's back four only had 41% of our touches, 51 for Man City's back five, 41% for Liverpool's back five. Absolutely brilliant. We're working the ball up quickly. We are not
dicking around. We're trying to get the ball into our flair players. We're trying to get the ball into midfielders. We're trying to get them to create something quickly. And you saw that with that blitzkrieg second half. How many times? Quick balls into the forwards and they create something. Or we win the ball back out the pitch, they create something. We're not dicking around at the back against this Manchester City side. We know what we've got to do. We've got to hit them hard. We've got to hit them fast while they are out of formation, while they are not expecting the counter-attack. Absolutely brilliant from Liverpool.
There you go. Like I say, if you're interested in the stats and the tactics and stuff, Chris, you're going to be doing that show every week.
Oh man, I enjoy that side of it. Like, you know, we don't get to showcase that type of Redmen very often and stuff, so it's really good to get your teeth into something like that.
Yeah, as I say, every single week that's on the RedmenTV.com. So if you want more in-depth and detailed analysis of Liverpool's games, we have got you covered, as well as the usual. Us sat around here cracking, you know, dick and fart jokes whilst talking about Liverpool.
Everything. I enjoy that too, Paul.
We've got it all, Chris. We've got it all on the RedmenTV.com.
We're well-rounded human beings, aren't we?
Well, yeah.
I mean, I'm rounded.
In that regard, absolutely. So yeah, the RedmenTV.com, 3-month trial, and then it's just £5 a month thereafter. Tons and tons of extra content for your eyes, ears and heart. Let's do preferred 11s then. Gents, let's see what we've gone with. We've gone with the full gamut of potential colours, apart from red. Because we don't have a red pen. Ross, yep. Would prefer to see Danny Ward in goal.
Well, you know what, he's right.
A part of me does, but I know Klopp's come out and said Karius is number one. I would rather see Simon in there, and I thought, fuck society, I'll pick Danny Ward.
Okay, I've seen and heard loads of arguments and debate, and obviously because Steve Hoare is a member of the Redmen TV team and can't stand Loris Karius, there's going to be debate over the goalkeeper stuff, Chris, until Karius puts in a performance that everyone can go, oh yeah, him, that's why he's our goalkeeper.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? I mean, only Liverpool can go 18 games unbeaten and still have, like, goalkeeping issues.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And we're talking about a lad who, I think I'm right in saying, we haven't had a defeat when Karius has been in nets this season. And yet it's still the biggest thing that Liverpool fans are talking about. It's nuts. And you know, I'm not having a go. I'm talking about it too.
Yeah.
Because he just doesn't save the ball very often. Yeah. And that's a big thing, apparently, when you're a goalkeeper.
Yeah, I think it's the fundamental thing of a goalkeeper. And it makes it hard to make a case for everything else around him, unfortunately. It's one of those things, isn't it, where Danny Ward has become this shining knight who's just clearly chilling at Melwood waiting for his opportunity to stride in and save Liverpool's future as a goalkeeper.
You know what really hurts Liverpool fans if they knew this? And I'm not sure that a lot of Liverpool fans know this, but the Echo did something on the transfer committee again. I think it was yesterday on the website. Did you see it? So who's involved? Akterberg is on the committee when it comes to goalkeepers. Right, I can feel the fume now coming through the cameras at us and stuff.
Yeah,
that's how much faith Klopp has in him, though.
Well, that's the thing about John Akterberg, and it was to be fair, I think things become easy narratives, don't they? And things become buzzwords, and I say this all the time about a player or a name that makes you go because you know what it means, and you say the name, and Akterberg's one of them. We've got a few of them, but you're right. He has survived so many culls at Liverpool. That he must be all right at what he does. It's just that it doesn't help his case that Liverpool's goalkeeping situation has been far from stable in the entire time he's been there. Now, here's the thing. That probably just boils down to recruitment as much as anything else.
I'm sure if you'd ask John Akterberg whether he'd rather a 4 million goalkeeper from Germany or Black for 80 million, he'd probably be saying Black, but yeah. it's just whether they can afford to do that. Apparently he's got an encyclopedic knowledge of goalkeepers around the world. Like, he's very well thought of. Like.
Just saying, if that's all that's required to be on the Plus Transfer Committee, Paul Machin, age 14, that's exactly who you want. Jose Luis Chilavert is your answer, Liverpool, by the way.
If you want someone maybe to take free kicks.
Maybe like, a little bit of Carlos Roa. Now, they're also going to protect you against apocalypses, so you know what I mean?
I mean, we knew Carlo Cudicini before.
Absolutely, Castelvicengo superstar. Just saying.
Say
Liverpool.
At the time.
So, if Time Machine, young Machen and Pajak, Transfer Committee. Because it's almost perfect.
We'd have ended up with Freddie Adu, that was well put.
Freddie Adu and Chain of Samba, mate, all day. Look, the goalkeeper thing is going to continue to be a debate until one of them proves themselves worthy. And here's the thing, I get the Ward shout. I'm totally down. I'd love to see Danny Ward get at least the West Brom game at the weekend. But I just think at this point, if Klopp's decided that he's not going to rotate the keepers anymore,
It will be Karius.
It will be Karius for every game between now and the end of the season.
It was funny as well how matter-of-factly me and John went with Mignolet because Klopp's going to play Mignolet last week, and then it was Karius.
It was Karius, yeah. And he even made the big statement about it as well. It wasn't like, oh, he's just in rotation. Nah, you couldn't be more wrong. I've got no love for Mignolet. He's done. He's dead. He's finished.
That wouldn't surprise me, though, even though he's come out and said Karius is number one.
Nothing surprises me with exactly. Liverpool and Klopp.
No, I would be astonished. But I've gone for Trent at right back as well as Ross because... And to be fair, I think my thinking goes through my team. I've got Oxlade-Chamberlain and Lallana in midfield for this one because I think it's a perfect opportunity for us to stretch our legs a bit, go and flex our muscles, do whatever. And I think that's our put a dead attacking team out.
Yeah, I love the Lallana shout. I really do. Like I can't wait to see him back into the side. I just also like the idea of that settled side now. You know, this would probably be the obviously I've gone for Virgil van Dijk to come back in. Sure. But other than that, I want to see a settled side. I want to see a side that can go up toe-to-toe against Manchester City and then literally take on the side at the bottom end of the league and know that you can count on those players in both situations.
It's a good point. I mean, yeah, I know. I think that's cool. I think Swansea are probably the perfect example for it. I think if we had West Brom now, I think we might see a bit more change, and I think we naturally will see a slightly different approach for West Brom because you know you're going to get a different sort of test. But the hope is, again, it might boil down to Swansea's style of football, that they are doing a variation on what we do, a variation on what City do, a variation on what South, you know, passing football with a bit of pressing involved. So you're right, these should be a similar but altogether much easier task for the team that we've got. And I do ultimately, that's my preferred 11. If I went with Klopp's 11, I think that's the sensible decision.
Yeah, it depends on Virgil van Dijk, doesn't it, I suppose, as well, you know.
I mean, injuries.
It's interesting. I was talking to Chris Bascom earlier on in the week. Did an exclusive podcast every week.
Where can you get that?
I'm about to tell everyone. We do an exclusive podcast every single week on theredmentv.com with a journalist. So we've had Bascom this week, we've had Chris Williams the week before and stuff. Bascom was mentioned something about Virgil van Dijk that I'd not considered before, which is why you want to speak to someone as entrenched in the Liverpool scene for as long as he has been. He was talking about Virgil van Dijk's hamstring, and he was like, the reason is he's come into Klopp's training. You know, you got a tight hamstring. This guy's come in, he's been at Southampton, he's probably not been putting his all in, and Klopp's working him, you know what I mean? So don't be surprised to see if that happens a couple of times over the first few months.
Or we might actually not see him for...
Exactly.
Might not see him properly for a couple of weeks off the back of that. I mean, yeah, that would be... And again, I suppose you shouldn't... The famous last words, if ever there was any, Ross, you shouldn't need Virgil van Dijk for Swansea away. So if it means you've got 2 weeks with him on the training ground, getting him as fit as possible. And similarly, I'd like him in for West Brom just because I think, like, Solomon Rondon's give us a bit of a run around at times in the last couple of years. I'd like us to have someone to handle him, and maybe that's a case where you say, you're right, Lovren, although he had that one moment of madness, as he tends to do, by and large he was great against City. Matip was really good as well. Give them this game and get Virgil ready.
Well, the other thing is you've got Clavan as well. Mm. And he's been
everyone's favourite.
Everyone's favourite, but he's been really consistent, and he wasn't named in the team, and then people are disappointed that he wasn't in it.
Yeah.
He's just like, you can't win.
That's true.
I'd rather have him in there. So we're spoiled for choice, funnily enough. We'd say that, but you bring one person in, and because you've got the rotation and the fitness and people are fighting for the plates, they up the game, and they have to, otherwise they're going to be out the door in the summer. So
absolutely agreed. Let's just have a quick look at the rival fixtures then. Again, every one of our rivals will naturally play before us because we're the last game of the weekend. Brighton versus Chelsea is the early kickoff.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Perfect. 12:30 kickoff after going through extra time and penalties in midweek.
With Pedro Morata suspended as well.
Exactly. I mean,
I'm not sure Morata's a fucking a loss, to be honest. Did you
see the last few minutes for Morata? No, yeah. I didn't watch the game. I only saw...
I saw extra time.
I only saw the stats and stuff. Let me read through this. You carry on and I'll get this up.
And then 3 p.m. kickoffs. Arsenal host Crystal Palace. Man United travel away to Burnley. I mean, again, we saw Man City totally and utterly. I think it was Spurs. Anyway, Burnley haven't been quite the staying test for others maybe as we made it, Ross. But still potential. There's potential there for drop points. Crystal Palace, Arsenal. Who knows? That's got. I think if Arsenal hadn't been in poor form of late, I would be backing Crystal Palace to win that. I do just feel that Arsenal side probably owe the fans and owe the manager a bit of a reaction. So that might be the limit of the Hodgness.
I think it might depend on what happens with the Sanchez deal and Mkhitaryan. If you get him in, it's excitement. Crowd will get behind him.
Yeah,
they want to see him perform. When you haven't got that cloud, and it appears that Sanchez has been teammates. Well,
even if he's just gone and necessarily got someone
he's
in,
it's done, isn't it? And you move on to the next chapter. There might be a bonus for them, but then Crystal Palace have been doing all right since Roy Hodgson's gone in. I thought I'd say that.
And look at this: 117 minutes, second yellow card to Pedro for bad foul, red card, obviously. 119 minutes, handball by Morata. 121 minutes, Morata's gone down, that's a dive. 121 minutes, yellow card to Morata. 121 minutes, second yellow card to Alvaro Morata. So within 4 minutes, Pedro's picked up a yellow and got sent off. Morata's had a handball and then a yellow card and then another yellow card. What a 4 minutes that is.
Brilliant.
A 4 minutes.
Yeah. I haven't been including Man City on this for a few weeks, but obviously the Man City collapse began at the weekend.
Absolutely.
And that, you know, them losing five games now between now and the end of the season begins any day now. So Newcastle, they host Newcastle at 5:30. They are going to absolutely destroy Newcastle, make no bones about it. But come on, Agent Rafa, please pull something out. That would be lovely.
Just get them thinking about it, you know.
Honestly,
what I mean?
Chris, even if they just get a draw, you know, just something like that, just so they start to go, eek, you know, just, you know, because if Man City are able to bounce straight back, then I, you know, they'll just go.
Paul. Right, Liverpool go and beat Manchester City. Well, Liverpool are clearly the second best side in the league. Do you know what I mean? But if Newcastle get a result there, then the rest of the league goes, all right, there's weakness there. We can take points off Manchester City. But the way that Liverpool went about it, everyone's like, oh, well, we can't play like that, so we can't beat Manchester City. And
maybe.
Stuff.
I mean, I'm not sure Rafa has the players at his disposal, but you never know. If someone can engineer something, I've said that a lot about Rafa this season, and it's not happening. Southampton hosts Spurs on Sunday, 4:00 kickoff. These, again, you can create a story by which every one of our rivals drops points this weekend, but equally you could then follow on the story I mentioned earlier where Swansea then start to claw themselves out of the relegation zone by doing us. The point is, I would strongly expect every one of those teams, because Brighton are shite, Crystal Palace, even though, you know, Hodgson's made them a lot harder to beat and he's actually got some good points along the way, Crystal Palace are shite. Burnley, a flood of shame.
Palace Arsenal's the one for me. If anything's going to go wrong, it's going to go wrong there for Arsenal.
Burnley's little, like, you know, flurry of European football looks like it's you know, it's starting to
what
fade
away a little
bit.
What happens when two teams park the bus, Paul? Burnley, Man United. I mean, what happens there?
Well, this conversation, it's a slap fight at arm's length, Chris. That, it's trying to knock someone out like this. So
Everton, Man United, didn't they? It's called El Busico.
El Busico. And Southampton are shite as well, so Spurs should absolutely take the points there. So, you know, I don't think this is a round
the Premier League fixtures.
Yeah, exactly. I don't feel as though this is going to be a weekend where we extend our lead on the fifth and sixth teams, or particularly close down any gap on anyone else. So again, it boils down to it being more important that Liverpool do what they've got to do. With that in mind, Ross, what is your score prediction?
3-1.
4-0.
Yeah, I'll take a 5-0. Why not?
You know, carry Sid and Gold, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, you just have to stop the
you
shots.
You can have smoke hands if you don't allow shots.
Okay.
This is where carry is going to make sense. Sweeper, keeper, spraying the ball out. Quick throws. Going to counter-attack. Trent joining the attack alongside Oxlade-Chamberlain. And then everyone subbed off on 60 minutes.
Everyone.
Or, well, you know, not everyone. Let me know your score predictions and your preferred 11s in the comments section underneath. And yeah, before we wrap up, just once again, if you want to go check out that stat show, go to theredmentv.com. Some incredible content. We've really upped it in the last few weeks and we're making it better and better week in, week out. The Man of the Match podcast is a fantastic addition to our lineup. As I say, if you need more in-depth and detailed content, we've got you covered. If you just want to have a little bit of a sit back, a relax, and a casual, cool chat about the Reds, then we've got that as well, and everything in between. Podcasts, video, we do what we do, and we do it for you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for subscribing, and we'll see you soon. Ta-da. Fucking hell.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.